fishermen, we bless the name of Jesus, the name of a good God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will bless your name. I will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll magnify that name together. We thank you, Jesus. What a blessing it is, as we've heard, to be in His presence today, where I believe there's healing, there's power, there's strength, there's joy, there's the miraculous. I'm so thankful for the glory and the power and the presence of God. I think it'd be fitting, before we move any further, if we just spend a couple more moments worshiping Him and magnifying that name of Jesus. Would you praise that holy name? Lord, we love you. We praise you today. We magnify that name and exalt it above anything and anyone. We praise that holy, holy name of Jesus. We love you today. Jesus' name. So thankful we get to be with Him today. I'm grateful every time I get to be with each of you. But don't be offended when I say I am so thankful every time I get to be with Him in His house and in His presence. What an honor and a privilege it is to be in the presence of God today. And along with that, as Sister Amber Williford said, we are so thankful for all of our guests that are with us today at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Thank you for those who are here with us, those watching via live stream. And as she mentioned, we want you to feel right at home today. And hopefully this atmosphere of worship, along with God's wonderful presence, helps you feel exactly that, right at home. We also invite you to turn with us to the Word of the Lord, the book of John, chapter 8. We'll start at verse 2, and I'll read from two different passages today, John chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 4. And while you're getting there, I will say we are missing our pastor today. They're, as was mentioned, they're down in Lumberton, and thankful they get to be there with family. We're going to continue to uphold them in prayer. But if you are a guest with us and you haven't had the opportunity to meet Brother and Sister Williford, we do invite you to come back and meet them. We think they're pretty awesome. That's an understatement. We think they're totally awesome. So again, thank you for being here today. John chapter 8. Particular, this is a familiar yet powerful scene on the temple grounds. And verse 2 says, "Now early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. All the people came to Him. He sat down and He taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' This they said, testing Him that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger as though He didn't hear." Just kind of tuned Him out. "When they continued asking, He raised Himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' Again, He got down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst, and when He had raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" In a relatable passage, the writer of Hebrews has this to say. In Hebrews 4 and 13, I'm reading from the New International Version. He said, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Nothing's hidden from Him. Nothing is out of His sight. Nothing's outside of His grasp or beyond the reach of His arms of grace. Even those things we try to obscure and those things we try to cover up are laid before Him, a God who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities." And that's exactly what verses 15 and 16 go on to say. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, even the ones we try to conceal, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And that's exactly what we're going to do today. These passages and that aim in mind, I want to preach to you from this title, "No Masks Required." No masks required. I need God's help. And there are many in the room that need it, and many watching via live stream that need it. I wonder if you'd pray with me right now for God's help in this service. Lord, we give this day and this service and every life within it to you. And we know that your word is going to help us. It's going to shape us, Lord. It's going to free us today. I believe that. And we're running to that throne of grace today. We're asking for your help and covering and your anointing this morning. Anoint our ears and our hearts to hear and receive. And I pray you'd help us to leave here different. Help us to leave here free and better today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'll ask you to please allow me to give the caveat this morning that I am not making a definitive statement about the wearing of physical masks here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Thank the Lord. I will leave that to higher and much wiser powers. I also recognize that my title today could come off as being a bit controversial, considering the fact that these masks have been the topic of much confrontation in the year of 2020. For some, these are the bane of our collective existence. For others, they are a mere annoyance, and for many, many others, they're now pretty much secondhand. They're about as routine as wearing a watch or grabbing your keys on the way out the door. And while I will not dwell on that controversy for long or make conclusive statements one way or the other, I will use the infamous mask in order to draw a very important parallel this morning. No, I am not here to announce that N95s and cheetah print masks are no longer a requirement in today's context. I'm sure that would be a cause for rejoicing in and of itself. But instead, I'm here to draw to attention to yet another mask, and one that I would contend most of us have worn a time or two in our lives and even within the last 9 or 10 months. And to take it a step further, I will say that many have grown more used to wearing this particular mask than they have the N95 that's currently on their face or sitting next to them on their pew. It's become second nature. It's become routine. We often grab it on our way out of the house or our way to work. We wear it throughout our day as we nod at our coworkers and we wave at our classmates. We carry it with us even to family gatherings. And dare I say, even to church, where other members of the body are ready to greet us with a smile and with a pre-COVID hug or handshake. To illustrate what I'm talking about, I'll share with you a story I heard recently of a lady who walked into Walmart with chocolate smeared all over her face. Some of you are thinking that's just a regular day at Walmart. It was interesting to me, though, because the chocolate was actually put there on purpose. As she walked around the store concealing what was on her face with her prescribed face mask, she recounted later as she thought it was hilarious, and she applauded the fact that no one could see what was really going on behind her N95 mask that was on her face. In conjunction with that, can I tell you today that masks have been commonplace well before March of 2020, and they have hidden much more than smeared chocolate on our faces. Instead, they have been positioned many times to hide copious amounts of pain, heartache, internal struggle, and brokenness. They hide pasts riddled with turmoil and sin, and they hide the present filled with concealed tears and life-altering trials. They hide things like sin and guilt and shame, but they also hide much, much more than that. Grief gets hidden behind a mask, perfectly buried just beneath the surface. Broken relationships and the bruise of broken promises are conveniently covered behind a smile and one of those all too easy, "I'm doing just fine, how are you?" Masks conceal a confrontation with reality. They hide regret, they hide abuse, they hide hidden hurts and open wounds. They hide the struggle. They camouflage the storm. They cloak the guilt that should not exist there in the first place. They mask the fear and the anxiety, the weariness and the exhaustion. They effectively suppress the very cares and worries we were called to cast at the feet of Jesus himself. And they obscure the very weakness within which his strength is made perfect. And they disguise the very broken and contrite heart to which the grace and mercy of God is drawn like a magnet today. Masks make you look like this. Oh, praise the Lord. When you probably could look like this. Ah! Masks make you talk like this. "I'm doing just fine. Thank you for asking. How's your family? when probably something in you is wanting to say, I have never hurt this much in my life. Mass make you pray like this, Lord. We could really use your help. When your heart is ready to say, why, God? I need your help. I need a miracle. Today, Mass are exhausting. They are muffling. They are stifling. They suppress your worship. They censor your prayers. They cover your brokenness and they disguise your desperation. They're the very thing that caused the rich young ruler to approach Jesus under the cover of darkness, hoping no one would see his emptiness and no one would know his desire to know Jesus all the more. They're a device of the enemy used to quiet your praise and contain your prayers. They are a muzzle over the mouth of the broken and a proverbial gag in the mouth of the destitute. They are a standing wall between our desperate need for healing and God's healing hand, and they are an effective way to keep both the prying eyes of others averted and the grace of God at arm's length. Masks are one of the easiest ways to avoid potential judgment, while also being one of the easiest ways to avoid the opportunity for healing and for the miraculous. And as much as I'd like to tell you today, and I'd be thankful to tell you, that you would never have to wear another N95 for the rest of your life this morning, I am all the more thankful to tell you that spiritual masks have never been, nor will they ever be, a requirement in the presence of Jesus himself. Let me just shift the narrative in the entirety of the message today and tell someone outright, you do not have to wear a mask here. You do not have to wear a mask in the presence of God. There are no masks required in the company of the very merciful God in whose presence we reside today. And furthermore, you do not have to be ashamed to take off a mask right now, no matter what it may be concealing today. For our text says, no creature is hidden from his sight. All things are laid bare before him. And not only that, but he is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Not only does he know what's being hidden behind a mask, but Hebrews 4 says he's moved by it. He's drawn to it. He's moved by what's behind. He's provoked by your brokenness. He's motivated by your despair. He's driven by your desperation. He is stirred by your suffering. He's compelled by your pain. And can I tell you today, he is not put off by the past and by the abuse and the shame along with it behind the mask. Psalm 51 concurs. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So when you take off that mask this morning in the presence of God, not only should you stand before him unashamed, but you can also recognize that the very brokenness you've been hiding behind a mask is the reason he came to your side in the first place. You ought not to be ashamed of your weakness and your weariness today. And you certainly shouldn't be ashamed to reveal both to a God who plainly asked for you to come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. What burden did you carry in today? What's hidden behind the mask? And I'll give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. You don't have to be ashamed of your weariness or the burden you carry behind a mask. That is not a cause for God to despise you. Instead, that brokenness is a cause for him to be drawn to you and to give you rest. It is not a cause for your shame and guilt today. Instead, it is a cause for your healing today. You know, I see it all the more than ever now. It's deemed such a shame or a disgrace to be caught out and about without a mask in today's context. Everyone's wearing them, including the physical ones. Everyone's wearing them, including, just making sure you caught it. When I go to a store or public space without my mask in St. Louis County, I always feel like I'm looking over my shoulder. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. feel like I got to explain to everyone why I'm not wearing the mask. There's a guy walking across the park. I'm like, hey, I forgot it. I'm sorry. I just had to get some bread. I know. It's in the car. I'm going to get it. I don't have the Rona. I promise. I got to explain to everyone. You feel so ashamed. Wondering who's watching you. Wondering who's judging you. You're wondering who has your life story pegged. Because you're not wearing a mask. I know him. It's one of those. Who's judging me? This morning I'm so thankful to be in a place where I don't have to be ashamed to take off a spiritual mask and reveal to God and those around me what's really going on under the surface and under the sky. I want someone to hear me loud and clear today. Whether you've been a saint of God for 50 years or you're a first-time guest, you may have to wear a mask everywhere else, but you do not have to wear a mask here. You may have to wear it around everyone else. But you do not have to wear it here. You don't have to hide anything in the presence of God. And you don't have to hide anything in the presence of His body, the church. There are no masks required here. You don't have to pretend like you've got it all together. And you've got everything going on when you come into His house and you come into His church. You can take the mask off and you can allow the presence of God and the healing nature of His body to get to work. We heard it last week that there's healing in the body, but we don't have anything to heal if it's all concealed behind a mask today. So can I tell you, you're safe here. You're sheltered here in the sanctuary of God's presence. You don't have to be ashamed taking a mask off in the company of Jesus in His church. You don't have to look around wondering, oh, who's watching me now? Who's judging me? Who's got my life story pegged? This is a place where no spiritual masks are required and where we can leave the mask at the door. I thank God, especially when you consider He already knows the condition behind the mask in the first place. Well, before they drug that woman in the temple that day, Jesus could see the condition of her heart. I find it interesting. They took her to the temple where Jesus was. I'll pause here and say, I hope He is in this temple and in this place every time someone comes in needing forgiveness and needing a place to remove a mask. Oh, God. I hope He's here every time someone that's broken comes in. And they got to remove a mask in front of all of us in the presence of God. The difference was she didn't even have the option that day. The crowd removed it for her, expecting Jesus to condemn her to die right there in the temple. They brought her both before the righteous judge and His throne of grace. They didn't expect His response. When faced with her sin and the accusers, Jesus just decided to remove all their masks as well. He was without sin. You take the first throw. Once the state of their hearts was revealed, they were forced to reckon with their own sin and their own camouflage condition. And meanwhile, Jesus alone with the woman sees her without the mask and without the disguise and without the covering, the same covering He saw through long before that moment. Instead of condemning her and her brokenness and her exposed shame and sin, He tells her, I don't condemn you. I don't go in sin no more. Now you notice, He didn't just gloss over the defect. He didn't gloss over the condition behind the mask. He didn't act as if there was nothing going on or nothing wrong with the sin or the wound and the scar, but instead He cuts to the heart of the matter and He offers her healing and He offers forgiveness. The great physician did not bypass or sidestep the healing process. He recognized the ailment and the condition and then He offered her healing and forgiveness. He did the same with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. This time, Jesus Himself removed her mask for her during their conversation there in Samaria. Just as He had done with so many others, He let her know, I can see what's going on. No one else may be able to, but I know what's going on behind that mask. In verse 16, He says, go and call your husband and come here. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You're well said. You've got five. And the one you are with now isn't your husband. The mask came off that day. Her condition's exposed. In the presence of God, even the disciples were wondering, why would Jesus stick around and speak to this woman when confronted with her past and her status as a Samaritan. But you notice, when all the things that should have put him off and kept him at arm's length were exposed, and they were brought to the table, we see they were the very reason he showed up there in the first place. She's a Samaritan, Jesus. Yeah. She's broken, Jesus, unquestionably. She's got a past full of regrets, Jesus, undoubtedly she does. She's wounded and she's scarred and she's imperfect and she's in need of healing, Jesus, absolutely. But when the mask came off and the brokenness is exposed, all we find is an offer for living water and an interaction full of the grace and mercy of God. Someone hear me today. When you recognize that Jesus already sees what's behind the mask, but he comes looking for you anyway, it ought to compel you just to get real and get honest with God today. When you understand that everything you could hope to conceal behind a mask has already been nailed to a cross, along with the condition of ordinances against you, it ought to stir you to remove a mask today in the presence of God. When you read that he already knows the secrets of the heart in Psalm 44, and he reveals the deep and secret things in Daniel chapter 2, you ought to feel free to let God get close today and get beyond the confines of any mask or disguise you may be wearing. And when you recognize the safety of his body and the presence of God that's here, you ought to get desperate and sincere enough to reach for some healing in the safety of his church. Someone recognize there are no masks required here today. And you can remove that mask in the safety of his presence, in the safety of the sanctuary in the body this morning. There are no masks required. Tell your neighbor, there's no masks required. Tell him emphatically, there are no masks required. Would you tell them? Look at someone. Let them know. No masks. I want you to think of it like this. I typically don't take this mask off until I get to a safe place. I don't take it off until I get to a place where I know I can freely remove it and I don't have to wear it any longer. I hope you realize this is that place today. Not because we're anything special, or because we're a part of a perfect church, but because we're in his presence. And you're in the presence of a people who know what it is to be healed of brokenness themselves. I said it earlier, but I want to say it again. I thank God for a church where the mask can come off and healing can take place. I've seen it happen hundreds, if not thousands of times in this place. I've seen elders and parents and grandparents and students and singles and even children remove those proverbial masks as tears stream down their face and as the glory and the presence of God envelop them. And I've watched the same ones that did that as the body came and surrounded them and began to pray over them and healing began to take place as they finally decided it was time to reveal that hurt and that pain and to give it all to God at an altar. I've experienced it myself countless times when I hit a breaking point in the middle of a service and I allowed the grace and the mercy of God to rush in as I abandoned my pride and my comfort zone and my mask in his presence. I could take you to a spot in the fellowship hall. Wednesday night, 2:20 service. We just got a report. One of my grandparents, the writing was on the wall. I walked in depleted. Some of you walked in this service today, and countless others depleted and tired. I walked in that night knowing exactly how you feel. They started to sing, the worship team started to sing, and right there in the middle of the worship set, I just remember buckling over in grief. And I wondered, I had the same thoughts many of you had. Well, what are they going to think of me? This isn't the time for this. I should have waited for altar call. I should have waited for a different moment where I wasn't so exposed. I remember it didn't take 30 seconds for those young men in my section to come and surround me. I must have felt 10 different hands laid on my back as the glory and the power of God rushed in that room. And I felt healing and I felt strength right in the middle of a desperate moment. It stands as a personal example that there are no masks required here today. There are no masks needed here today. Someone can remove the covering. Someone can start to pray. Someone can start to call in the name of... Why don't we do that right now? I don't have to give a formal altar call. It is appropriate for you to begin to take off a mask right now and begin to call on the name of Jesus, the God who already knows what's been bubbling up inside of you as I've been preaching, the God who already knows you're at your breaking point, the God who already sees every tear, and His Word said has bottled them up by Himself. I wonder if we could just pray all throughout this place and call on the name of Jesus right now. Would you begin to call on His name? Someone that needs healing, someone that needs strength in the name of Jesus. Oh, healing can happen right here. Healing can happen right here. This could be an opportunity for someone just to remove a mask and get desperate in the presence of God. Oh, we need you. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. I won't be afraid to admit I need some help today. I need some strength today. I need the peace of God to settle in my heart today. I need the healing virtue of God to flow into my life and my family today. We're desperate. We're desperate. We need you. You're praying. Keep praying. To everyone else, I want to tell you, I recognize there is some initial pain and there's some initial awkwardness that comes when you get desperate in the middle of an atmosphere like this and there's no music playing and you're wondering, can I really be exposed right now? And people are wondering what's going on. I know it's not easy. This is not meant to embarrass anyone or mess with your emotions. But I also know the relief and the peace that comes. When we finally reveal to God, I'm hurting. I got no pretty prayer for you, God. I'm just hurting today. I know it's not easy and can be uncomfortable. I also know there's times I walk out of a store, I get in my car, and as soon as I do, I rip that mask off. It's like I can breathe again. It's like I'm free. Others can see my face. Like I'm back to normal again. Some of us haven't felt normal since March. We're clamoring for that. What if God's peace can help you today? Just in case you're not convinced, I'll remind you of a woman with an alabaster box. Stumbled into the house in Luke 7. Her mask already removed. Along with everyone else, Jesus already knew what was behind that mask. A whole lot of brokenness. A past full of regrets, a life marred by darkness. A subservient spirit on full display. You know, it must have looked pitiful to everyone else. Going straight for the feet of Jesus. Must have been a little bit awkward seeing those tears. Verse 38 says she wept over His feet. Not fitting for a dinner party, and much less the home of a Pharisee. This is not the home of a Pharisee. It is fitting for this place. The masks were off that day, and while others scoffed at what was behind it, this is what Jesus said. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed it with her tears and her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman's anointed my feet. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many," no mask, no denying it, "they're forgiven." He said, who is this guy? He can heal, forgive. Verse 50, He said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Read that passage like I could see in the Holy Ghost individuals like this woman who just stumbled into the house today. And you are so ready to remove a mask that you've been wearing for too long. And all the while, you're wondering, what are they going to think? And what is others going to say if I just let out a cry of desperation? Let me remind you what Jesus said. It's the only thing that matters. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You ought to leave the house with peace today. And you ought to leave here whole, and you ought to leave here healed. I'm not trying to embarrass any person, but if you're ready to get real with God and reveal that hurt and that pain behind the mask, I wonder if you just stand to your feet and lift your hands and begin to call in the name of Jesus. I'm looking for some individuals who are done. You say, God, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. I need you. I'm looking for some individuals, and God is, more importantly, that are just desperate enough to begin to call in the name of Jesus. Maybe even a little recklessly and a little loudly, just because you're desperate. I'm looking, and God's looking for some individuals who are ready to let the physician get close to your wound and close to the scar and close to that hurt today that you kept him away. Oh, church, if that's not you today, and maybe you've been walking without the mask and you're living an overcoming life, I wonder if you'd just begin to intercede and pray for individuals who have felt in bondage and they haven't been free for months and maybe even years. They're walking around broken, hurting, and no one knows it but God. Here, it's not just the words to a song, but I believe if you just lift your hands and voices and call that name of Jesus, oh, you'll feel that healing. You'll feel the touch of his presence. Maybe it's been a while. You're not quite sure how to navigate it. Maybe it feels a little awkward, but I hear the voice of the Master saying, your faith is saving you right now. You're leaving here in peace, and you're leaving here whole. You're leaving here healed. In the name of Jesus. Spread your hand and lift your hand towards some individuals that are praying right now, seeking the face of God and seeking healing. I'm looking for some intercessors to begin to lift your voice and speak that healing and that peace over some lives. As we sing this again, let's pray in the name of Jesus. We stand with every brother and every sister, Lord, every guest, every saint. We stand with the young and the old, and elders and grandparents and singles, Lord, and children that are broken today. And we claim healing for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For individuals praying some broken prayers today.
Freedom is here. And I believe it. Sickness can't stay any longer.
Today, there are most definitely members of the body that are hurting. I've spoken with several of them this week. If you're praying, keep going. Like I said, I'm not trying to draw on anyone's emotions this morning. I'm just trying to create an atmosphere where we allow the healer to get as close to the wound as possible, one that's been concealed for far too long. In particular, I just felt a burden for those who are weary and exhausted today. Some are at the end of their ropes. They are just tired. If you're here today and you're in need of strength, I wonder if you'd just be honest in the safety of the body today, and you're just need strength and rest and peace. Would you just lift your hand? See, I could use some of that. I know it's uncomfortable until you look around and see everyone else is standing right with you. Maybe you had no idea. And we are standing with you. And we are fighting with you. Along with that, I've got a word for you today. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. However you know how to do that, I wonder if everyone that just raised their hand would just start to call on the name of Jesus and go to him however you can. And everyone who didn't, would you again begin to intercede? If you were in this position, I know. I've been there. I want someone to pray for me. Would you just begin to call on the name of Jesus? And however you know to do that, to go to him. Just begin to take some steps toward him today. Oh God, I'm coming to you because your word told me to. I don't know exactly all this is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be fixed or healed in a moment. But I do know that your strength and your rest, Lord, will carry me. And if I got to go to you every day and multiple times a day, I know that your word will stand true and you will give me rest. You will give me rest every time. Last week, our pastor did the very thing I'm preaching today. Told the church how much our prayers have meant to him and Sister Williford during this season. About every service and prayer time, I've just felt the drawing and stirring. Pray over our leaders. I know they're about 1,000 miles away today. I just feel like this prayer is going to just strengthen them and uplift them again. We cannot do this enough. I've heard, and he's told, how he prays over this church. So we're probably not going to catch up to him. We're going to try. We're going to pray over Pastor and Sister Williford, the Williford family in the Barnhills. And we're going to honor God by doing it. Would you lift your voice with me and let's pray in the name of Jesus. We pray that peace, God, that each one of us feel. It is like a blanket here today covering us. And now we pray that same peace that passes all understanding would cover Sister Williford and our pastor today and the church there, Lord, and the Barnhill family, Jesus. And we pray the healing of God would cover their hearts and especially for the Roy Barnhill's heart, that you would raise him up, Lord, in that hospital, that you would send your angels to minister and to strengthen and to help them. In the name of Jesus, we just lift their hands today with this prayer, and we know that by your stripes we're healed, and that your healing is going to where they are, and your peace and your comfort's going to where they are, Lord. We thank you. You're not going to leave them comfortless, nor a single one of us. We feel your strength today in Jesus' name. Come armed with peace today. I did not come unprepared, because I saw long ago the condition of your heart, your desire and need for strength, and your desire and need for peace. My peace is perfect. My peace is everything that you need. My strength, even in the middle of your weakness, is enough for you. It's sufficient for you. My strength, my peace will carry you long after this day and long after this moment. Because you have come unto me as my word prodded you to do. I have decided and I am giving you my peace today, saith the Lord. Oh, would you just lift your hands and receive it? Oh, God, we feel that peace today. We feel that strength today, Lord. Sometimes I feel like holding everyone hostage by following the Holy Ghost, but we never go wrong following the Spirit of God. And I feel such a covering and blanket of peace here today. I want to thank this church for being a place where the mask can be removed. Healing can take place. I have done it so many times. I do it about every time I preach. Get up here and cry my eyes out. Just so thankful for a safe place. And my own family is a product of this place. Times of turmoil and times when all we need to do is go to an altar. And the entire church, it seemed, met us there. That's what this place is. And you don't have to wear a mask when you come in here. Spiritual one. We're going to leave those at the door and we'll continue wearing these masks.